Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. And welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. Mary Kate's guest today is Brian Mercier, a professional Catholic speaker, retreat leader, author, and Catholic apologist. After having his own profound conversion experience in college, for more than 20 years, Brian has gone on to help people of all ages to have life-changing encounters with Jesus. Brian is the president of Catholic Truth, a nonprofit ministry dedicated to proclaiming the one truth of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through apologetics, spirituality, ministry, and media. Their goal is to help Catholics know, love, and live their faith with purpose and passion. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry, and it's so good to be with you all again. Many prayers and wishes that you all had a blessed Thanksgiving, and more so as we journey into the season of Advent, preparing for Christmas. It's just our prayer that this will be a time of great peace and joy for you, for all of you and your families, and just being able to soak in and prepare for the great feast of Christmas and what that means to us Catholics and Christians and to the whole world at large. So wishing you many blessings on this Advent journey. And just a quick note to remind everybody, I mentioned this last time, coming up in December, on December 12th, which is a Monday, we are celebrating the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe up here in the Northeast PA, Pleasant Mount area, north of Honesdale. They're celebrating the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We'll be having a Mass at St. Faustina's Chapel, as well as confessions, the rosary, and a meal afterwards. So please join us for that. We'd love to have you. Everything starts at noon, and Father Joseph Sigliano from the Oblates of St. Joseph there in Pittston will be celebrating the Mass. So you're all welcome to come. And of course, please always remember JMJ Catholic Radio in your prayers. And also, if you're able to give any financial support, it's so much appreciated. And the number to call JMJ for any information or to make a donation is 570-287-4670. All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. Where Jesus gives us this promise: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this promise, the promise to hold us throughout our whole lives and to be with us at every moment. We thank you for this beautiful day today. We pray to walk closely with you and your Blessed Mother, especially during this Advent season. Amen. And we're so excited today to have joining us Brian Mercier. Brian, thanks for coming on the program.
I'm very glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, of course, you're welcome. And Brian, I always, this is probably kind of a hard question in a way. I always like to start off asking my guests what their favorite, a favorite scripture verse or part of scripture is for them and why they like it so much.
Yeah, that is a hard question. I have a lot of favorite scriptures, but one of my favorites comes from 1 Chronicles 29:11. It's probably a more obscure verse, but it says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as the head above all." Now, wow, that just tells us who God is in his greatness. I mean, ever since God transformed my life and, you know, healed me and made me new and clean, I just experienced his power. I experienced his mercy, his healing. I experienced his glory and his greatness. And I've wanted just to praise him and thank him ever since. And so I really love this verse because it really just is one verse of just praising God for who he is and exalting him and thanking him and just acknowledging who he is as the head above all. And just nobody can compare with him.
And it's so powerful, Brian, too, because, you know, we all know these things about God, I think, on a certain level, but sometimes we forget it so quickly, and the cares of life and the world make God seem so small, you know?
Right. Yes, exactly. So many people get too caught up in their sins. Too people get too caught up in their guilt and the things they've done wrong, the things they haven't done right. And as St. Therese says, via Father Del Bay, he says that we often focus too much on our dirtiness, on our grime, and on our sin, and we don't focus enough on the light of lights, the true God who can transform even dust into pure gold, because he's that good and that powerful.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And you know what, Brian, nobody has yet shared a verse from Chronicles, so you're the first one. So I enjoy the variety there. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Brian, I just wanted to, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit, you know, I always start my program with talking about that verse from the Gospel of St. John, and Jesus says, you know, the Father is greater than all. No one is able to snatch us out of the Father's hand. We're in his hands, you know, throughout our whole life. And I don't know if you'd share with us a little bit about how, if you reflect on your life, how the Father's held you in his hands.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can absolutely share with that, because even though I tried to walk away, and even though I took some detours, and even though I kind of went down a bad path for a little while, I never left his hands, and he never let me go, and he never gave up on me. And it's a wonderful, beautiful story. In fact, I grew up in a house where we went to Mass every Sunday. We went to confession once a month, and we prayed every day since I could talk. My parents taught me how to pray, so they did a lot of good. But yet, I never really knew God. I never could connect with God on a deep level. I said prayers my whole life, but I didn't know God. I didn't have a relationship with him. And I ended up, I struggled a lot because I was bullied a lot. I was abused as a kid. I had a lot of rough things that happened to me, which caused me to go into depression and anger and even rage. And I ended up dressing in black. I ended up dressing in all black and really kind of just living in depression and anger and wanting to hurt people for like 7 years. And I had a lot of rage, and I was a nice kid. I was kind of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, I was a nice kid, but on the other side of me, I didn't know where to put all my problems and my anger and all that. So I just kept stuffing it down. And when you do that and you don't really deal with it, then it comes out in unhealthy ways later on. And so I ended up taking detours and doing some interesting things that concerned my mom, and she would pray for me every single day. She would cry for me every day. She would sacrifice for me every day. And at one point it got, she wanted to send me to, she thought about calling the cops to get me to go to prison, because she figured, hey, it might reform his life. But instead she ended up sending me to a Catholic college, Franciscan University of Steubenville out in Ohio. And it was out there that I ended up having my life changed. And I was the kind of kid who asked a lot of questions growing up. You know, how do we know God exists? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? If God really loves us, then why does he send people to hell? You know, like, and people would say, Brian, either you just have to have faith, or, you know what, God's a mystery, or don't question God, or you just need to believe. And these weren't satisfying for me, because I want to know why I believe what I believe, and I don't want to believe something that's not true. And so I used to get angry and just say, oh, you know, just go on my own tiff. And, you know, it took me a long time to find God. I'd pray every day and I wouldn't feel anything. I'd pray to God every day and I wouldn't hear anything. And he didn't seem to answer any of my prayers. I didn't pray for my parents not to get divorced. I prayed for a girlfriend. I prayed for lots of things, and none of it happened. So I figured, either number one, God's not real, or number two, he is real, but he doesn't really care for me. It doesn't seem like many other people do. So maybe that's a good choice. Or number three, he's this old guy in the sky, a billion light years away with a beard, and it just takes forever for our prayers to get up there. And he's kind of aloof and distant. And, you know, I didn't really know who God was. But once I went to Franciscan University, you know, God really worked with me there, and he worked through the people there. Just like, it was the opposite of high school, where you were bullied and made fun of a lot. And everybody just accepted me there. And even though I used the F word like every sentence, and I was, you know, had quite a cussing mouth, you know, everyone, no one judged me. Everyone just loved me for me. And it allowed me to have the fertile soil I needed to grow and to open myself up to God. And it was at that school where God just came into my life in such a powerful way. I mean, it was like a St. Paul style conversion where it's just, so to speak, knocked off my horse, as they say.
Wow.
And it didn't happen right away. I mean, I started, you know, getting more into prayer, more. And I mean, I said a rosary every day growing up. So I really think, you know, Mary's thousands and thousands of prayers for me really kept me on track. And I always tell teens, because I speak at a lot of confirmation retreats, and okay. I always say that, you know, because people say, you know, oh, I don't think God's listening to me. And I said, I thought the same thing. But then I realized that God heard every prayer. I was still in his hands. He still loved me. I was still his son, even though I was taking detours. And he took all my prayers and he put them in this box with my name on it. I call it the Brian box. And then when I was ready, he poured out all of those prayers in one moment. And the day he changed my life, it was like an 18-wheeler truck going about 55 miles an hour and smashing into me. And I literally thought I went through the back wall of the church. And this force just started going through me from the bottom of my feet all the way up to my head. And it started paralyzing every part of my body. And I was literally freaking out, like trying to ask the girl next to me for help, because I had never experienced any of this religious stuff before. And I just wanted to make sure that I was okay. And so I ended up just having this profound, I won't say I saw a vision of heaven, because I didn't, but God gave me a vision of what heaven would be like. And for, you know, time's sake, I don't have the time to explain it, but God basically told me that, you know, all the anger, all the confusion, all the hatred, all the broken heart, everything that I had, he said, I've been looking for love in all the wrong areas. And he told me that he is the only one who could heal my heart and make me completely new and give me new life if I wanted it. And I said, yes, God, I wanted it. And he said, okay. And so over the next year, God would literally transform my life, re-put together my heart, put all the pieces back together. And honestly, he gave me more than happiness, joy, peace, power than I could have ever experienced in like 100 lifetimes.
Wow.
And he poured out the Holy Spirit upon me to overflowing, like overflowing. It's just like a bubbling happiness, gifts of the Holy Spirit, just everything. And just I felt like I was in the with the apostles on Pentecost. I was having my own Pentecost confirmation experience. And just wow, I mean, he literally transformed me inside and out, took out all the pain and the hate, and he replaced it with love and peace and joy. And he just gave me a zeal and a fire and a love for him and for everyone else. And so I've ever really wanted to serve him ever since. And so that's kind of my story of how God keeps me, and really people in general, in his hands. We can choose to walk away, and I tried to, but he kept pursuing me, you know, probably because of, you know, Mother Mary was praying for me. My mom was praying and crying and sacrificing for me, and the prayers of mothers are powerful. And, you know, I just kept praying every day, even though I didn't understand God, even though I didn't think he was listening. I see, this is the thing. Many people do walk away from God. You know, oh, well, God's not answering my prayers, so I'm leaving. No, just because he's not answering your prayers your way, the way you want right now, doesn't mean he's not answering it, doesn't mean he's not going to answer it, and doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He just had to show me that at a much later date, and it ended up changing my life. And now I spend my life trying to help other people have their lives transformed the way mine was.
And, you know, something you mentioned, Brian, that maybe you could speak about for a moment is, you said God poured out all the gifts on you when you were ready. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm summarizing a long conversion process, but, you know, my first conversion was just experiencing his love and being literally put back together, being made new, being transformed from the inside out. After that moment, I went home and I got made fun of a lot for my faith. By my family, by my friends. I felt like I ran into a brick wall, and like many people, I just kind of fell away again. Then I came back and Jesus forgave me, and then I fell away again, and then he forgave me. And then there was this moment that I had where it's like, oh, none of these people care about me. They're all trying to take away my faith. But God, I've literally given him the finger, so to speak, and he still takes me back unconditionally every time. So it hit me in that moment that God is the only one who loves me unconditionally. So I made a vow to live for him in that moment, him and only him forever from that moment on. And from there, I said, God, I'm going to live for you, but here, I'm sick of being made fun of. I'm sick of being put down. I'm sick of not knowing what to say. Everybody makes fun of my faith, and I just sit there looking silly. So if I'm going to live for you, God, you need to help me. You need to give me the same Holy Spirit that you gave the apostles on Pentecost. I was in church telling him this. And I said, I want the whole thing, God. I want the full Holy Spirit. And so I put my hands all the way up in the air, as high as I could reach. And I said, come on, God, pour out the Holy Spirit on me. Please, Lord, I need your power. I need your grace. I can't live for you without your Spirit. And literally in that moment, it felt like Pentecost. Just the power of God just came over me and just gave me the strength and I would say the gifts to live for him, the gift of speaking and living out my faith, the gift of being able to defend my faith, doing apologetics and having the ability to do so. And really, even my friends, when I went home after this, they're like, wow, you're different. What happened to you? And everybody knew I was different. And because I just had the Holy Spirit, and it was like, I wasn't afraid anymore. People would come up to me and say, did you just pray? And in my old days, I would say no. And I would lie because I was too afraid of being a Jesus freak. And then in my new days after the Holy Spirit, they said, yes, I did. Didn't you? And they said, no, why would I? I said, don't you love God? They said, yeah, but nothing. If you love God, why don't you pray to him? They're like, oh, we don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah. Wow. So, Brian, tell us about how all of that leading into this ministry that you've had for several years now. Talk to us a little bit about your ministry at the Catholic Truth.
Yeah, well, it's in Franciscan University. They have this 150-foot steel cross in the middle of the field overlooking the city of Steubenville. It's like the light in the darkness there. And I was sitting in that field, and I told God, I was crying my eyes out, just in love with what he did for me. And I said, God, I just want to help people the way you've helped me. I just want to heal people the way you've healed me. And I just want to help people to be transformed the way you've transformed my life. And I want them to find you. And so he has allowed me to do that ever since. And I didn't really know how I should do that. You know, I just knew with a passion and a zeal that I wanted to serve God. Maybe it wasn't discerned very well in the earliest days. So I really took any job that had to do with ministry. So I did a lot of youth ministry jobs. I was a DRE. I taught in Catholic schools teaching religion. I did a lot of different things like that. But over the years, I still felt like something was missing. I felt like Paul. I felt like I needed to convert the world. I felt like I was like an apostle who had a passion to evangelize the world. And so about 3 years ago, and I was going through a crisis, like a dark spiritual, every kind of crisis you could imagine. And I didn't feel God. I didn't experience him anymore. He wasn't really speaking to me. And I was trying to figure out what I was supposed to do. And in that darkness, there were three options presented to me. And Catholic Truth was the only one. Trying to do ministry full time was the only one that, you know, really resonated even a little bit. So that's said, I'll try it for a year, God, and if it doesn't work out, I'll do something else. And up to that time, I had a YouTube channel for 3 or 4 years, and I only had 400 subscribers. But after the first year of starting Catholic Truth, I went from 400 YouTube subscribers to 6,000. Then we went from 6,000 to 15,000, then 15,000 to 30,000, and now we have almost 50,000. And so we reach millions of people in over 60 countries, and that's just our YouTube channel. That's not including our podcast, our TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, social media platforms, our articles on our website, our retreats, and everything else that we do. So, I mean, over the last 3 years, Catholic Truth has really grown. I mean, we do confirmation retreats, we do parish missions, we do adult retreats, we speak at colleges and Newman centers, universities, theology on taps. I mean, you name it, we try to reach as many people on as many platforms as possible, so that because I just want to reach so many. I know how my life has changed, and I want to just reach so many people with the truth of Jesus Christ that I had, and I want their lives to be transformed as well.
Right. Wow, that's beautiful, Brian. Thank you so much for answering the call and doing that, you know.
Yes, yes. And if you don't mind me saying, the last little part of that is I had my faith, even after I knew Jesus, I had my faith challenged by Jehovah's Witnesses, who told me that Jesus wasn't God, that Constantine started the Catholic Church and he was a pagan and the Catholic Church was wrong. And I had all these people telling me the word Pope isn't in the Bible, the word purgatory isn't in the Bible. And I didn't, again, it goes back to me, I can't believe something if it's not true. So I went and spent years looking up all of these questions and realizing that the Catholic Church actually has really good reasons for believing why the things she believes. And so, I mean, 20 years now I've been looking up all the answers. And so, you know, in addition to helping people be transformed by Christ, I looked out into the church and just realized that the church is in a huge crisis. The kids, I mean, so many of our young people just are not, they're just not there anymore. I mean, our churches are closing. I mean, here in, you know, Connecticut, and I know Pittsburgh and other places, they've been closing in large numbers. And I'm like, what is the deal? I was like, we need to start evangelizing our church. And so that's the other component of my ministry, is apologetics and evangelization and helping people to know their faith, love their faith, and live it, and really to understand it and defend it. And because for me, it's like a puzzle. If you can put all the puzzle pieces in place and you see the picture, it makes sense. And then you have this light bulb moment. You're like, oh, I get it. It makes sense. And that's when you want to live out your faith.
Right. Wow. That's beautiful. And, you know, it's, you know, something you mentioned way back early in the beginning of the program, Brian, was about, you know, you might heard different people, most especially Protestants, kind of make the statement, well, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And I've always thought there was something really beautiful about that, because, like, as Catholics, like, that's thoroughly what we're supposed to be doing. You know, you know, it's not just about following precepts or things that Jesus told us to do. He really wants a relationship with us, and that's really what we want too, you know. And I think some people out there don't realize that's what they want, a relationship with God, but they also don't realize that actually as a Catholic, you can thoroughly 100% have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Not only can you have it, you should have it. As Bishop Barron said, it is the primary, it's what Christianity is primarily about. I mean, that's what heaven is about. It's a relationship with Christ for eternity. So we need to start that relationship now. See, Protestants have that right, that it is about relationship, but they sometimes tend to throw out the commandments and the doctrines and the dogmas, whereas Catholics can sometimes over-focus on the doctrines and the dogmas and forget about the relationship. What we need is both. We need a profound love relationship with Christ, but also being obedient to his commandments and loving him so much that we want to follow the doctrines and the church that he gave us as well.
Right. No, sir, it's like kind of like trying to be right down the middle of the road. You know, it's not like either or. I think it's both and. You know, we need both things.
100%. I agree.
Yeah. And, you know, our time is winding down here a little bit, Brian, but we do have a few minutes left. I was wondering, would you share a little bit when you mentioned earlier about, like, I don't know if you said you didn't have a vision of heaven, but you kind of got a sense for heaven. Would you just talk about that for a moment or so?
So I had this, like, vision that God gave me. I kind of, I was really freaking out when this paralyzing thing was going on, and I think God knew that. And so I just blacked out completely, and I don't remember anything except seeing this bright light. And I saw a huge throne room, and a huge throne, and Jesus was sitting on the throne, and all of these tiny people were in line to go up to see him. And there was this one man in Jesus's hand, and Jesus was hugging him and kissing him, and this guy shined like the sun, and he was so happy. And I realized in my vision that I was next in line to go up to Jesus to get that happiness, to get that joy, to get that light and peace. And then as I was heading up there, right before he picked me up in his hand, everything just kind of faded away. And that's when he told me that, hey, Brian, I can give you the love, you know, that you've never had. I can heal your life if you want it. I'll never forget those four words. He gave me the choice. I had to choose it. But I said, yes, Lord, I want it. And I mean, that's the long and short of it. But I saw millions of people just either prostrated down, you know, at the throne room of God, and millions more with their hands straight up, just praising God. And just everything was about loving God and God loving us in return. And that moment was just complete with more peace and joy and love than I've ever felt anywhere ever.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful to hear that and to think about that as being our future, you know, something that we're all going to get to experience someday. You know, I eagerly look forward to that, you know, especially in those hard times when things are a struggle, to press on to joining our family in heaven, the communion of saints, and being with God, you know. So.
Amen. Yes, absolutely.
Brian, if you wouldn't mind just sharing with people a little bit, if they are interested in maybe having you come speak or give us some information about your website, if people want to get a hold of you, you know, and have communication with your organization, could you just give us some details for that?
Sure. The easiest thing to do is look up Catholic Truth online, and we should come up in most places, our YouTube channel, our Catholic Truth podcast, our TikTok in different places. Probably our website as well. Right now it's might be changing. Right now the address is thecatholictruth.org, but in a few days it will just be catholictruth.org. But the easiest way to look us up is Catholic Truth, and we have a whole aspect on our website dedicated to our speaking, retreats, list of talks we'd give, and possibly even places we've spoken at before. I mean, recently I've just spoken at men's conferences, two men's groups, in fact, and they just, the men there just love the talk I gave so much about how to live as a man in this crazy culture. How do we live today as Catholics?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Actually, I just spoke at a women's conference too, so, you know, really they can find anything on there.
Yeah, beautiful. Do you have like some kind of forum or something on your website, Brian? If people have questions, they want to communicate with you directly, or do you have like people on your staff that people have questions about their faith, they can talk to somebody or get some resources?
Both. I mean, if you go to any of our Catholic Truth YouTube videos, we have a link in there that says questions, and that brings you to a form where you can just ask your questions and it'll come right to our email box. We have staff there, so I answer some, they answer some. Right now we've just been growing so much, I haven't been able to answer them all, which is why we have the staff. But there's our phone number is on our website, and email is on our website, and for, you know, retreats there, you can fill out a form there as well.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. That's great. Brian, would you mind leading us in like a prayer here to close out, for our listeners? Just lead us in a closing prayer. That would be wonderful.
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Father God, we praise you, and we thank you, and we come to you in Jesus' name, and we glorify you, O God of gods and King of kings, good God of love and mercy and generosity. You are always there for us. You always love us. You're always on our side. You smile down on us when you look at us because we are the apple of your eye, and we thank you for your love, O God. We thank you for, we don't deserve your love, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you for giving us what we don't deserve. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us to save us and to show us your love. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit. Please fill us with your grace, with your strength, with your courage, and everything that we need to live for you and to love you, especially in this season of Advent. Help us to sacrifice any and everything that is not of you so that we can love you more fully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Brian. That was a beautiful prayer. And please be assured of our prayers for you and keep us in your prayers.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Brian. God bless you all. And we'll be with you again in a couple weeks. So God bless and take care, everyone. Bye now.